Great song to lead up to the message today on baptism. It's just, woo, that's awesome, awesome, awesome. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 1. And I do not have any notes on the screen. I have been gone literally, well, I can't say all last week, but most of last week with training with the with our state convention, the Baptist General Convention of Texas. One thing you need to know is that part of our offering every week goes to support work around the state of Texas through a number of agencies, but particularly the Baptist General Convention of Texas. That's the state Baptist convention that we're a part of. And so I was at a training with them from Tuesday through Friday afternoon. And I'm telling you what, folks, it's just great training. Training that isn't just good for me individually, but then has impact, will have influence upon you as I, specifically the training I received as I meet with individuals and just talking about issues going on in their lives. And as I'm there with, I guess, about 300 other chaplains with the state of Texas, it's just, I mean, just the training that was going on, the lives that are being touched through that training, it is just a phenomenal thing. So I want you to know that your money is being used in a very healthy and appropriate way that is that will be and is a blessing to tens of thousands of people around our state. So praise God for that. But that said, I just did not have time to get the notes up here, so it's just going to be me preaching, just plain old me preaching, all right? Hope that's good enough. Here we go. Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the topic of baptism. We'll be looking at John's baptism. Why was Jesus baptized by John? And then thirdly, Jesus' baptism, which is really spoken of in the song that Tammy finished a moment ago. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending upon him, upon Jesus, like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. The baptism of Jesus. Here's the big idea. If you're taking notes, the big idea for the message this morning is this. Baptism in Jesus identifies me as his follower. It's the first thing. It identifies me as his follower. And then secondly, it illustrates my new life found in his death, burial, and resurrection. It identifies me. And then secondly, it illustrates my new life found in him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, what about John's baptism? Let's look at that. If you'll back up into verses 2 and following, we see where God sends John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord. Clear the road for him. In verse 3 it says. And then it tells us about John. We looked at this the last two Sundays. He was in the wilderness. This is verse 4. He preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Verse 7, John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am, I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He baptized us with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus. What was John's baptism? Let me give you 2 points about John's baptism, what it was about. It was a preparatory baptism, and secondly, it was a confessional baptism. A preparatory baptism and a confessional baptism. He was calling the people to turn from their sins, this preparatory action, telling them, get ready for the one who is much greater than I am. Go and confess your sins. That's the confessional baptism part of it. That this preparatory thing, he's saying, prepare yourself. Get ready. The Messiah is on his way. Now, here's what you need to know about John's baptism. John's baptism connected people to a movement, not a man. What do I mean? It connected people to the messianic movement, not to him as a man. Jesus' baptism, it connects us to the man, Christ Jesus. John never wanted people to follow him. He had followers, we know that. But as we know in John chapter 3, he said, look, I don't need a following. I don't care if my following is decreasing. He must increase. I must decrease. It's not about me. His baptism was preparing people for that messianic. They were saying they were getting involved in this messianic movement that the Messiah was on his way. They were cleaning themselves up for the Messiah. I mean, don't you remember as a little kid, you'd have special guests that would come over, and your parents would say, yeah, you're not seeing anybody until you do what? Until you take a bath, you know? You got to get yourself ready. You're not presentable. And so that's what this baptism was. They were preparing themselves for the great guest, Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's a confessional action or confessional baptism. They were, he says here, that they were going out. John was telling them that they should repent of their sins and turn to God to be forgiven. And the way that they showed that they were turning to God to be forgiven was not only were they publicly confessing their sins, but they were showing it through an action. It's interesting. I did some study on this past week about the number of times in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, God tells the priest and others, wash yourselves. Don't you know they also had that huge basin there near the altar? It's this big bronze basin that the priest had to baptize themselves in, essentially, is what they were doing. They were washing themselves in. God said to the priest, and he says in Exodus chapter 40, he says, you do not come into my presence without washing yourselves. You get in that basin. And we don't know if they were in it or if they dipped themselves, how it worked, but they were washing themselves. They were purified. They were confessing their sins. He says, you cannot enter into my presence dirty. And that was both physically and spiritually. You need to confess your sins. And so this baptism was an extension of those actions found in Exodus and Leviticus. They were saying, we're getting ourselves clean before the Lord. They were making themselves again ready. So that's what John's baptisms were, a preparatory baptism and a confessional baptism. Now, why was Jesus baptized by John? Go ahead now and turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. It gives us a little bit more understanding of why Jesus was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. What did John do? He tried to talk him out of it. He says, look, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? And the language of this in the Greek was, it was an emphatic, and it was almost like a second and third and fourth conversation. It was like, please, I don't need to be baptized by you. And Jesus, no. Jesus responded, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus said that, and John said, no, but you don't understand. I'm not the sinner here. I'm the sinner here. You're the sinless one here. No, we have to do this. That's the language. There was almost this back and forth that was going on between John and Jesus about being baptized. And finally, John acquiesced and baptizes Jesus. Now, why was Jesus baptized by John? Again, and I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Verse 16, after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. So why was Jesus baptized by John? There are a number of reasons. I'm going to give you three reasons, if you're taking notes, why Jesus was baptized by John. Number one is this. It's because it validated John's preparatory ministry. When Jesus was baptized by John, he was essentially saying to all, God sanctions John's ministry. He's not some crazy guy out in the wilderness or just some prophet speaking forth and telling people to be baptized. No, his ministry was directed by God, and it has my Father's, my stamp of approval upon it. He is a man you need to listen to. And so it was that. It was validating his ministry. It was like receiving the blessing of an important person. We have the Pope, I believe he's in the country today or soon he'll be in the country. And as people meet with the Pope of various stripes and different Christians, and they receive his blessing, it's like his approval. And so it is with Jesus here. When he was baptized, he was approving of what John was doing. He's not some crazy guy. He's a guy you need to listen to. Secondly, why Jesus was baptized by John is this, and I want you to listen to me very clearly, because some of you may go askew here, and I don't want you to. Jesus was identifying himself with sinners. Jesus was identifying himself with sinners. You see, all these people were coming to John saying, we're sinners. We want to make ourselves ready. We're confessing ourselves and sins, and we want to make ourselves ready for the Messiah. We know Jesus, of course, did not sin, and therefore he did not need to repent. But Jesus came to save those who did need to repent. He was identifying himself. The people are saying, we're confessing ourselves, we're getting ourselves ready for the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, yes, and I'm the one. I'm the one who's identifying myself with you. I'm the one. I'm the Savior. You know, we were singing a song here a moment ago about Ferris Lord Jesus. Son of God and son of what? Man. He's son of God, but he identifies himself with mankind. He's the son of man. And so here in this baptism, that's what he was doing. He identifies with those who know they need forgiveness. He doesn't need forgiveness, but he said, you do. And I believe that's why John did not want to baptize him. John was saying, look, I'm the sinner here. You're not the sinner. I am the sinner. In fact, John said in John chapter 1, what did he say? We saw Jesus, look, the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin. He's the sinless one. He's the spotless Lamb. And so John understood that. But Jesus said, we have to do that. I'm identifying myself with the sinners here. I am their Savior. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, he sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Finally, the third reason why Jesus was baptized by John, and this is important, it was especially important to John, it fulfilled John's prophecies about Jesus. It fulfilled John's prophecies about Jesus. John had been saying, look, I'm telling you, there's one greater than me who's coming. I'm not worthy even to untie his shoes. He's coming. He's coming. Get yourselves ready. Confess your sins. Be baptized. And then Jesus shows up. You know, many prophets prophesied and never saw their prophecy fulfilled. I mean, it's a hard place to be in, isn't it? Even John in the book of Revelation, that was, of course, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, but he gave it through John. John prophesied these things. We're still waiting to see them happen, right? I mean, some of these things are occurring to a degree. But right there in John the Baptist ministry, when John prophesied, I'm telling you, one's coming greater than me. He's going to baptize you with it. He saw it. It fulfilled his prophecy about Jesus. When Jesus came up out of the water and the Father spoke, this fulfilled what John had been prophesying. Don't you know? Look, in fact, turn to John chapter 1. I think we're going to go to John chapter 1 in just a moment. Yeah, go ahead. John chapter 1, verses 31 through 34. Listen to what John says. This is so interesting. John 1, 31 through 34. John speaking here, and he says in verse 31, I didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Talking about Jesus, I didn't recognize him. But I've been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. In other words, I'm doing my preparatory work to get him ready to come forth. Then John testified, look, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting up on him. I didn't know he was the one. I didn't know. But this validated it, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. But when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus. So I testify, he is the chosen one of God. John saw his prophecy fulfilled, and then he could go out with even greater strength and greater boldness and say, I know that I know that I know. I prophesied he was coming. And he came to me to get baptized, and I thought, well, maybe he's it, maybe he's not. But when I baptized him and the Holy Spirit came down, I can testify. He is the chosen one of God. So it validated. It validated that Jesus, or it fulfilled, excuse me, John's prophecy that Jesus was the Messiah. And it gave John greater boldness to testify that Jesus was the chosen one. So those are reasons why John baptized Jesus. But what about Jesus' baptism? The baptism that we do today, the baptism we'll do here in just a few hours, as this adult and these young people or children are baptized. What is our baptism all about? Well, that's where we go into Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And there are many scriptures that I could talk about this morning, but I'm only going to spend a few minutes on Romans chapter 6. And Jay, in just a little bit, we'll show that video, okay? I want to show you a video that illustrates this passage in a way that's just phenomenal. At least it was phenomenal to me. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined in His death? For we died. Say, we died. We died. And were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Say new lives. Amen. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we also will be raised to life as He was. Amen. That's one of the great passages in the Bible. It tells us what baptism illustrates in such a perfect and wonderful way. You see, baptism reveals our identity as a follower of Jesus, and it demonstrates our new victorious life in Jesus. He says, look, I am, when Jesus died, I was in Him. This is Jesus, this is us, we were in Jesus. And when in our baptism, we are showing what happened. When Jesus died, we died, not only died to the penalty of sin, that is that sin demanded someone die, but we died also to the power of sin. That old sinful nature has now been crucified with Christ. It is dead. It is gone. The old sinful nature is dead and gone, and now we've been raised in newness of life. Amen? We now have a new life. That baptism symbolizes I was dead, but now that my faith is in Christ Jesus, I am now alive. I'm dead, the penalty of sin has been forgiven, the power of sin has been broken, and I can live a victorious life. I can live the kind of life that God wants us to live in heaven here on earth. Baptism, verse 3 says, visibly signifies my union with Jesus. I'm proclaiming through my baptism, I'm united with Jesus. Folks that are going to be baptized, you see them this morning, if you come into the first part of the service, they're saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm uniting myself with Jesus. But they are also proclaiming what has happened within their heart. They are proclaiming the realities behind baptism. And the great reality, listen folks, the great reality about baptism is you are now dead to sin. Dead to sin. The power of sin has been broken in your life. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We can all agree with that. Everybody can say amen to that. But many of us can't say amen to the power of sin being broken in our lives. I'm telling you, the old sinful nature, what does Galatians chapter 2 say? It says, I have been what? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It is Christ who is now living in me. That old nature has been taken away. You see, the word baptism that you need to understand, not only does it mean to dunk or to immerse, to put under the water, but this is the idea behind it. Metaphorically, this is what it means. I'm in one environment, and now I've been put in a completely different environment. They're above the water. They're in the atmosphere, not the atmosphere. Here they are with in oxygen. They're oxygenated. And then suddenly they are put in a completely, submerged in a completely different environment. You see, that's what the Lord's trying to illustrate through your faith in His Son in that baptism. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You were controlled by the old sinful nature. You were under the authority of the evil one. But now that you have been put your faith in Christ, you've been submerged. You are now in a new environment. You are forgiven. The power of sin is broken in your life. The devil is defeated, and you can live in victory. That's what baptism illustrates. And that is so magnificent. Kenneth Wiest, a great theologian or Greek word scholar, says this about this passage. He says, the believing sinner is placed into Jesus. He is taken from his old environment and condition in which he used to live and placed in a permanently new environment. We are no longer defined by our old identity or our old nature. We are now defined by this new identity and new nature. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Woo, that's good. That's good news. That ought to make you smile. Amen. Makes me smile big. It's the whole picture of a king adopting this abandoned orphan child. I've used this illustration before. It's a great illustration. If you can imagine in your mind's eye just this abandoned orphan child in this poverty-stricken portion of a city, there he is on the street corner begging for food, doesn't have a parent, has no one to take care of him. All he knows himself is just this lost child, this orphan child. And the king comes by one day and he sees this child that nobody owns, nobody has, nobody loves. And he takes him as his own, adopts him. And now that child is a child of the king. Amen? And that's where we were. Now here's the thing. That child's identity has changed. He's no longer an orphan. He's no longer poor. He's no longer rejected. He is loved, he is accepted, and everything that the king has belongs to who? It belongs to him, right? Everything belongs to him. But his mindset many times still thinks like an orphan. And it's that mindset, that renewal of what? The renewal of the mind. It's the renewal of the mind to begin thinking anew. The old nature is gone, but that old mindset's still there, and that's what has to be renewed in our lives. Romans chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, look there. This gives us kind of in a negative way, illustrates verses 3 through 5. It says this, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. So one man's sin affected everybody. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live and triumph over sin and death through this one man, Christ Jesus. Here's his point. In one man, sin and death came upon us all. Okay? That sinful nature was imparted to us. We are sinners by choice. We are sinners by nature. All of that was imparted to us. We were in Adam when he sinned. When Adam sinned, we sinned. It came upon us all. But now that my faith is in Jesus Christ, when he died to the power of sin, guess who else died to the power of sin? Raise your hand. Would you raise your hand? Me. That's right. You died to the power. When he was raised victorious over sin, Satan, and the devil, guess who else was raised victorious over sin, Satan, and death, I should have said? Me. Amen? Me. We were. We were raised just as we were in Adam. Now because of faith, we are in Christ. And everything is new. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Woo, woo, that's good stuff. All right, Jay, let's go ahead and let's watch this video.
My name is David, and I've been in prison for going on 34 years now. before I came to know the Lord, my flesh was just going crazy and had no control over anything. It didn't even try to control me. You know, back then, I committed some very serious crimes. Six murders, injured a lot of people. I have, you know, grief over that and a lot of regret. And God is still continuing to heal my life from those things. And as time goes on, I continue to pray for the families of those I hurt. A lot of this was the suffering I brought on myself through my own sinful actions. But God is good. But God is good. And He's brought me a long ways. I think in all seriousness and soberness, when I shudder to think what my life would have been if I never came to Christ, I honestly believe that I would not be alive today. I probably would have taken my life, because in my times of depression and darkness, there was really no reason to get up in the morning, no reason to go through the day. It was a lot of pain, a lot of mental and emotional anguish and guilt and torment and all these things that I was carrying. And when I came to the Lord, you know, the Lord began to change all those things. Yeah, okay, that sounds easy. That sounds like just words. People could say, yeah, sure, right. I don't expect people to believe me, but that doesn't matter, because the Lord is still working through me. And so that's really what counts. So I'm the Lord's servant, and I know what Jesus Christ has done with my life, and I'm so thankful for that. I began to read the Bible. I developed a thirst for the Bible. I couldn't put it down. I was reading it every moment. Every time I was back in my cell, back from my work assignment or whatever, I couldn't wait to pick up the Bible. That verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 comes to mind, that the Lord is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. I'm not worthy of these things. I don't deserve this. You know, I don't deserve all these wonderful, wonderful blessings of just knowing that God is using my life for His glory and honor. But to think that at one time in my foolishness and in my, you know, wickedness, that I allowed Satan to use me for his purposes. You know, God has allowed me to experience in my own life freedom in many ways. The Lord set me free from a guilty conscience. He set me free from my self-destructive and self-sabotaging behaviors, which caused chaos for me all my life. He set me free from the power of depression, which I was afflicted with all my life. He set me free from the power of Satan, because Satan had a hold on me probably since I was a kid. And I have freedom to share my faith with other people. And I'm also free from that power of sin that had me bound for so long. No one has done so much bad or so much evil that God will not forgive them. Even though I've been behind prison walls for more than 3 decades, I no longer see the prison bars. My eyes focus beyond that. I see Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My freedom is found in one word, Jesus.
For David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, died and was buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now David also is living a new life. Amen. Amen.